welcome to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we've got some growing puppies, and we've got a very overcrowded whelping box. Because as I speak right now, we've got the mama dog, the aunt, which is the mama dog's sister. They are all pushing puppies back in the box. And we've got Wyatt, who is the uncle dog, and he's in the box. And we've got Fallon, who's my beautiful 12-and-a-half-year-old Ridgeback, and she's helping too. So it's really pretty cute, and I'm going to let everybody kind of hear some of the puppies, because I'm truly in a box of puppies. So the reason that I'm mentioning that is that most of the time, and most people, whoops, just dropped the puppy, moved the puppy there, that most people will tell you that you can't have other dogs in a whelping box with a mama dog, because mama dog's going to be dominant. Mama dog's going to say, hey, I got to protect those puppies. Get out of here. They're my puppies. Well, the difference is that in my life and my world, because I am a canine behaviorist, I don't have my dogs ever thinking that they're allowed to correct other pack members, which means not that the mama dog isn't allowed to care for her puppies, because of course she's going to care for them, but that the mama dog has to understand that the moment those puppies are born, they don't belong to her. Yeah, she's going to be feeding them and loving them and bonding with them. But the difference is that my dogs know that I'm the leader. So that means, and it's not just a little shallow promise, but I am the one who's responsible for protecting my pack. Now, because I'm protecting my pack, she doesn't have to protect it. So that goes back to how do we teach a dog, just in general, any dog, that we're in charge? Well, I know it's not by screaming and yelling, that's for sure. And I know for sure it's not by hitting a dog with a shock collar. And I know for sure it's not by yelling and screaming and blaming your husband, although probably it's his fault anyway. It's not by throwing things. It's certainly not ever by squirting a dog in the face, which I actually had a Facebook argument with a very misguided young lady who was all over the place and basically just really out of control, that, well, I just yell at my dogs because now I've squirted them so many times, and I just yell at them, I'm going to squirt you. And I'm like, okay, that's not really calm energy. That's not something that I want my dogs to be living around. I want my dogs to trust me. I want my dogs to look at me with love and respect and knowing that I will protect them and care for them no matter what. Well, today I got finally some good news. And our good news is that our Fallon, who's 12 and a half, had a little mass on her leg, and it's benign, which I'm so excited after the $1,900 surgery to remove it, that she is okay. So she'll hopefully live till she's 15 or 16 like my other Ridgeback. But, you know, the whole thing is that when dogs live with stress, and you know what it does to people, it makes our hair gray, it makes us stressed with our bellies sometimes. Sometimes we have, you know, some people throw up, some people get chronic diarrhea, some people just can't eat, some people eat too much. Stress is a very bad thing for anybody. So if your dog thinks that he's in charge of providing for you and protecting you, he's paying your mortgage, he knows how much you pay for car insurance and homeowners insurance, he knows how much your grocery bill is. Well, he shouldn't know that. He should just be like a kid, like we were when we were little kids, 5 years old. And our worst problem in life might have been, Mom didn't make enough chocolate chip cookies, or these days, Mom didn't buy enough of the pre-made, preformed chocolate chip cookies for my friends. That's what the worry should be for your dog. Oh, gee, I wonder when my next cookie's coming. Wonder what I'm going to be eating. I wonder what time Mom's making the organic chicken from King's, which is very expensive. It's like Wegmans, but a more expensive version. I wonder when Mom's going to take our organic chicken, our organic carrots, our organic kale, organic spinach, organic sweet potatoes, and organic celery, and put it into her very expensive pressure cooker and then food processor and make us our delicious dog food. That's also all organic, like the kibble I used. That's what their worry should be. They should never worry that their person, that their leader, their mentor, their daddy, their mommy, isn't going to be able to protect the pack. So by what I do, where I go in, and the first day is the mama's. Yes, she's got to bond with the puppies. She's got to get, we've got to make sure we get enough colostrum the first 24 hours into those puppies. But after that, that next day, when I first invite Wyatt in, used to be Angel before Wyatt, would go in, or whichever one of my most stable, kind of the leader of the pack below me, would be there. So it's now Wyatt. So Wyatt comes in. And when Mama goes to protect and maybe growl, if she does at Wyatt, I give her a gentle correction. And it might take 5 or 10 times. Gently, with love, not angry, not hitting, not hurting, not yelling, but calmly and consistently teaching her, honey, you're not allowed to growl at anybody in our pack. Just like if I came into your home and I said, hey, I'm going to light up a cigarette in here. I would hope you wouldn't hit me over the head with a 2x4 and say, there's no smoking. I would hope that you would instead say, hey, Janice, you're not allowed to smoke in my house. Those are our rules. And of course, I would say, oh, sure, absolutely. Sorry, didn't know the rule. But after a few times, you would expect that I would now be able to get that rule, understand the rule, and know what that rule is, so that I wouldn't break the rule anymore. So, go back to the puppies. So, Mama Dog has her first day of bonding, because they need that, so that everybody knows that's the mama. And then we have Wyatt come in. And then a few hours later, after Wyatt's been in and out a few times and come and visit, then we would bring maybe Fallon in. Or in this case, I brought Wispity Bunny Dog, who's wagging her little tail here in the studio and on her back, giving me her paw and giving me lots of kisses. Right, Wispa? Wispity. Well, Wispa came in, and little grumble from Brandy. Corrected at, no, honey, you're not allowed to do that either. Wispa laid down, so now I'm in the box with Wispity Bunny Dog, who's the aunt, Wyatt, who's the uncle, and the mama dog, and 7 puppies. We did lose one little one who I knew was only 2 ounces when she was born. Her name was Faith. And I thank everybody for the literally thousands of people who on Facebook and private message and text and phone calls called to tell me what an impact little Faith had on them in just a few days she was alive. Then after I had those, then I bring Fallon in, and Fallon comes in, and same thing. Brandy looked at her, kind of went to give a little grumble. I just gently corrected her. No, honey, you're not allowed to do that. Not in English, but you know the way I correct, very gently. And then we brought Lexi in, who's like all of 20 pounds, same thing. But by now, Brandy just kind of picked her head up, looked like, yeah, okay, whatever. And then we had even my little puppy, Kira, came in. And everybody, one by one, came in. Now, I am not going to dog shows right now with any of these dogs. They don't go to dog parks. I'm very, very careful about germs with newborn puppies. But Brandy's exposed to all the same germs as all my other dogs because they all live in the same house, drink out of the same water bowl. But behaviorally, that set the precedent so that if Brandy's in there and she happens to be nursing puppies and one of the other dogs goes near it, Brandy won't protect because those puppies are mine. And we're going to talk more about this in a moment, so please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf and a litter of puppies and a whole house full of dogs. Well, what we're continuing on is what I was talking about before. Well, basically, if you're in charge, the dog doesn't need to be. This isn't about dominate the dog. This isn't about, oh, let's give him cookies and pull our hair back in a bun and speak with a British accent. And I'm not mocking, but in a way I am explaining why you can't use an angry, dominant, superiority complex, macho kind of energy, because you're going to take a fearful dog, as some of us have seen on a recent video, and you're going to take that dog and set her up for failure, and you're going to get yourself bitten, and you're going to change that family forever so that they now don't look at that dog in the same way. Remember, like the Hippocratic Oath, which sometimes I think should be called the Hypocritical Oath, first do no harm. You have to pay attention to that. First do no harm. Don't hurt the situation. Go in and help. And if you can't help, then don't go in. Now you have the dominate the dog crowd, and then you have the let's toss a bunch of cookies, and let's make sure that we wear high heels and that we pull our hair back so we remove all the wrinkles from our forehead. And then let's just lock the dog out. Let's just lock Brandy in her pen. Yeah, let's just do that. Because this way, if she's not near the other dogs, she'll never have to worry about protecting her puppies. Well, the problem with that is I'm a show breeder. I don't breed very often. I might breed one or maybe two litters a year. So what happens when I keep one of those puppies? As happens very often, where I keep one or sometimes even two from a litter for grand champion show dogs and best in show dogs. So what happens if I allow Brandy or any mama dog or any dog in general, even if it's not the mama, to protect something that she perceives as hers? Interesting question, right? So I want some of you guys to email me like you do and maybe even call in. Here's your problem. When you don't own something and the dog protects what it thinks belongs to it, you then are not the leader, because the leader is the one who gets to protect things, because the leader is the one who is responsible for taking care of the rest of the pack and for owning things. Remember the mortgage, the car insurance, the homeowners, and all that? Well, those things are all things that if you think about it, if your dog thinks that he's got to be responsible for those items, then he's in charge. So whether it's Brandy protecting a puppy, or it's your dog protecting a bone, or a spot, or the couch, or even something like that you don't think about, a doorway or a gate or an entrance to a baby's room, whatever it is that your dog might want to protect. Once that dog is protecting it, it's that the dog owns it. So dogs are not allowed to own anything, like children are not allowed to own things. You wouldn't give a child a sharp stick or a knife or any kind of a weapon, or, God forbid, a loaded gun, or even an unloaded gun. What you would do is you would tell the child and teach the child, don't go near that. That's sharp. That can hurt you. You could hurt somebody else with that. Don't play with that. That's not a toy. And this is the same thing that we're doing with our dogs, or we should be doing with our dogs. Let's teach our dogs what their responsibilities are and what we expect of them. Let's not get mad at them because they broke a rule that they didn't even know they were supposed to follow. Instead, let's teach them what we want them to do and then just support them until they, on their own, can determine that, this is what you want. So think about it for a minute. We communicate with each other with language. It doesn't matter what you say. If you say the word sit is cucumber, and the word lie down, let's say, is artichoke, and if I say to you, cucumber, you look at me like I'm crazy. And if I say artichoke, you look and you're like, okay, this woman's lost her mind. Well, it doesn't matter what you call that. You can call sit computer, And the dog will understand that when you say computer, the dog will sit. That's operant conditioning. And that's fun. You know, that's teacher dog party tricks and fun stuff like that. I have a very good friend who's an amazing obedience trainer. He trains his dogs to do all kinds of stuff. But his dogs, the one of them especially, you know, is dog aggressive and somewhat people aggressive. So, again, you have to think like a dog and imagine what the dog is thinking, not what you're thinking, but how is that dog taking what you're thinking and doing and saying? Well, the goal is that we want the dog to make a decision, because once the dog looks and says, huh, every time I run out an open door, you give me kind of a little nip on the shoulder or on the butt, and you growl at me. Well, I know what that means, because when my mama dog used to correct me and growl at me or give me a little nip on the shoulder or on the side of the neck or on my butt, on my flank, I know that that meant she didn't want me to do that anymore. Oh, maybe this human doesn't want me to do that behavior. Maybe I shouldn't run out the door. Voila! That's perfect. Now we have a dog who is well-behaved, not necessarily well-trained, but most people don't want their dog to be well-trained. I mean, some people want to do competitive obedience, like Wyatt's brother, who is, I believe, number one in the country right now. I don't know in each of them, but I know in several of the obedience trials, he's number one. He's amazing. But the problem is that doesn't ensure that the dog is going to be well-behaved. Now, in the case of Dillinger, champion Rambo's John Dillinger, which is Wyatt's little brother, same litter, he is an amazing dog, but he was an amazing dog because of his breeding and because of the way I raised him. So he already starts out perfect. So that's why Noel and Melissa can train him to do anything they want, because he's a stable, well-balanced, super well-behaved dog without it. So how do we fix a dog? Well, like the young lady who called me from 11th Hour Rescue, and was, what a sweetheart of a girl, and was worried because she had adopted a dog at 18 months old. The dog basically bit her very severely in the face, ripped a part of her ear off, and bit her also in the throat. Well, you know, this is something that, you know, you can't blame yourself. If the dog is 18 months old or more, you know, you're through all the fear phases by 14, 15 months old. So, no, you can't blame yourself, but you can fix it. So if you want to try to fix something and you have a dog with a behavioral issue, whether it's fear or dominance, if you set rules and you stick to those rules in a very calculated, very mechanical way, so that if the dog does something wrong, we're very gently but just correcting, and then we're ignoring for a moment, and then we just move on. Eventually, and some dogs do it in minutes or seconds, and some dogs take weeks, but either way, the dog will learn what we expect, will follow the rules, and then the dog will not have behavioral issues anymore. Then you can train the dog to do anything you want. You can train him to get a beer out of the refrigerator for your 7-year-old kid. I don't care what you train him to do. But make sure first he's well-behaved and that he understands what you're asking of him. So in our next segment, we're going to be talking more about how to fix behaviors that are troubling. We're going to address an email that I received from a listener, and we're going to talk about how to fix her issue. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial. No sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee, and it's only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you're referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on a path to good health.
Welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we're going to talk about an email that I received with a follow-up phone call from a lovely lady in California. But first, I want to just tell you that I am sitting in a box of literally of just almost three-week-old Ridgeback puppies who are precociously crawling over pretty much everything that I can possibly put here to keep them in. And this is my joy in life. This is what I love, is taking these puppies and giving them everything, including they've had rules already for, about a week I've been giving them very soft, gentle corrections and guiding them towards what I wanted them to do. And that's what every dog should have. But unfortunately, every dog doesn't have that. And I want to do a quick shout-out to some amazing people in my life who are wonderful. Pam Kavaleski, Jody Joseph, the future Dr. Jody Joseph, Casey Butler, Lara Ferment, Anita Burke, Barbara, who is an amazing lookalike to Kathy Lee Gifford, Barbara Kelly, and Karen Aaron, I love saying that name, and my sweetheart little Aiden in Texas, who is my prince. I want to just tell you all, among many other people, Cindy L., I want to just thank you all for being such an amazing part of my life and giving me the strength to do all the cool things that I get to do because of you. Well, all right, let's go back to the email and the follow-up with the lovely lady in California, who I'm sure is listening right now. I won't call you out, but she has two Rhodesian Ridgebacks. And she had emailed me because she had one of them, who she's had for a very long time, very sweet dog. And she'd been having problems because the younger one that she just rescued about 5 weeks ago had started playing very roughly with her older dog. And her older dog basically attacked the younger one. But then the younger one also went after the older one. So she had basically a two-dog dog fight. Now, if you could see what I'm doing right now where I am, I have... six, the puppies, the mama, these four. I have eight dogs, eight adult dogs, and six puppies in one room, and that's not all of them, but I have them here. Again, remember what I do. Not that, hey, Janice, yeah, you're famous. You do cancer detection and disease detection, and you train service dogs for every kind of imaginable thing, and, you know, you're a canine behaviorist. No. Your breeder? No. I know, that's all the stuff I do, but what is it that I do that's different from what most other people do, other than the people who've already gone through our natural canine behavior rehabilitation program and been certified? What do I do differently? I own my house. I don't mean I own it from the bank. Yeah, of course, but I own my house in the eyes of my dog. I own them. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm cruel or abusive. If anything, it's quite the opposite. As I watch six of them on the California king-size bed, and I am in my studio on a hard chair. Well, my dogs know that I own things. So what it does is instead of having the dogs feeling that they've got to protect themselves against another dog or person, they look to me. So if they have a question, it's kind of like little kids. If they have a question or there's an issue, the dogs will look to me for their guidance. That's what I want. So this lovely, lovely lady in California and I, we spent about an hour and a half on the phone, and she read my new book, which is called Shh Happens. I can't say that too loud because my dogs look up at me when I say that. SHHH happens. Canine Behavior 101. Now, the reason, and they're all looking up at me. I'm sorry, guys, I tried to say this softly as I could. Well, the reason my dogs are alert to me is because they want to follow me. They're not worried about where I'm going, but they're worried or concerned about, hey, where's Mom? Is Mom going to be here? Because I should stay with Mom. So this is why my dogs literally, and I've had my Ridgebacks for 25-plus years, 28 years, almost 30, I guess. Oh, boy, I'm getting old. Don't want to admit that. But think about it, that like the lady in California with the two Ridgebacks, and it could be two of anything. I've spoken with a lady who has five Cane Corsos, all females. Good luck on her. She's awesome, too. She's joining our team here in New Jersey as well. Her name is Cheryl. But think about it for a moment. If the younger dog is playing really rough with the older dog, and the older dog, as I spoke with her, the older dog was the runt of her litter. She had a broken tail. She had some other issues. She was not a healthy dog. I think she had mange or something, demodectic mange when she was a puppy. She had a lot of issues. So the mama, right, the lady, was probably feeling kind of sad and like, oh, gosh, I'm so sorry. What did I do? I brought this dog in, and she's hurting you. Well, that's not a strong energy. That's a weak energy. That's not going to give your dog confidence. That's going to set your dog up to feel like, oh, I have to be in charge. So, no, we don't want to do that. We want to give our dogs everything, including confidence in us, respect for us, and a bigger connection, stronger connection to us. So once I explained to her after she read my book, and I explained to her what was going on, that her older dog was feeling that she wasn't protecting her against the younger, larger dog, and that the younger, larger dog was potentially harming her and scaring her. So, of course, when the larger, younger dog is playing way too rough and scaring the older dog who's smaller, well, of course, the older dog's going to say, I've had it. It's enough. You've had this kid for 5 weeks, and I'm afraid, so I'm going to go attack her. And then what happened? The younger, larger dog said, hey, you're not allowed to attack me. I'm in charge of this place. And there they go. And they had several, I believe they had three pretty good fights with ears ripped and the whole thing. So we don't need that, especially if you have little dogs with the bulgy eyes. Because I just had a client this past week. I have to go out there next week. She has two Shih Tzu mixes with the bulgy eyes, and one of them ripped the other one's eyeball out, literally, and it was hanging, and that's just kind of too gross for me. So, you know, these are the things that, you know, that happen, and that people have to really think about why it happens. Well, this lady in California was awesome. She followed everything to the letter. And I just received a beautiful, beautiful email from her that the two dogs, and this is like less than a week ago, the two dogs are lying next to each other, but they're not playing hard anymore, and that she now realizes that a part of the reason that her older dog became aggressive was because she was fearful of the younger dog potentially hurting her, and that the younger dog was saying, hey, I got no rules here. I can do whatever the heck I want. Well, now she understands that she has to be in charge. The human always has to be in charge, because if we're not in charge, then the dog is going to think it's in charge. And if your dog thinks he's in charge, he's in charge. Doesn't matter. You think that, oh, well, no, I'm in charge. I feed him. I pay for him. Well, dog doesn't think like that. You're thinking like a human, and like I have my trademarked, think like a dog. Think like a dog, people. Think like a dog. What would a dog think? Not what a human would think. Humans think like humans, and dogs think like dogs. So if you understand why the dog is doing what it's doing, then you can fix it. So what's going on right now with her is the two dogs are kind of just hanging out. They're not playing rough anymore because the older, smaller dog is fearful of that. So they're playing nicely and calmly and quietly and beautifully. So another happy, beautiful story, and I'll keep you updated on that. Well, we have to say, hold on a moment, because we got to take a break. We'll be right back in a moment. Stay tuned.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's doggy goo to fight environmental pet allergies, goo gut rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and goo silver, a broad spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit healthygoo.com today or call 855-246-2426 and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
Welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we were talking about some pretty cool stuff earlier, and I encourage everybody who has a question to actually purchase a copy you can get actually on Amazon for your Kindle, or you can even download the free Kindle software so you can, even if you don't have a Kindle, like I don't, well, actually I just bought one, but my book isn't on it yet because I haven't opened the box yet. But you can download the free Kindle software on any device, including your smartphone, so you can read my book and take it with you, even on a little tiny phone. Pretty amazing technology we have. And the book is called Shh Happens, S-H-H-H Happens, Canine Behavior 101. And the book is going to help you understand developmental phases of your dog, the genetics behind your dog, how to fix the dog's behavior, what your dog is thinking, great nutrition, and understanding why certain things should not be in dog foods or in anything for that matter, and all kinds of things about building trust and regaining trust, building a connection, teaching your dog to respect you and the other animals in the house and the other humans in the house, and all of these things in a loving, gentle, natural way. We're not dictators. We're not supposed to be mean to our dogs. We're not supposed to be yelling. Who likes to live in a house full of yelling and screaming and unstable energy? Well, I know I don't want to. You know, it's just, unfortunately, when you look at things, things aren't always as you think. And people all too often, you know, they think, oh, I'll take my dog to obedience because he's jumping and he's, you know, maybe he's barking too much or he's jumping on people, or he's peeing in the house, or all different things. Well, that's not an obedience issue. Obedience issues are, you know, maybe if the dog needs to be potty trained, that's an obedience thing. If it's a puppy, you know, if you want to teach your dog to sit and lie down and maybe do some fun tricks, those are obedience things. Even some of the very minor behavioral issues, you can help, like a dog who's jumping, but don't knee your dog in the chest. Don't turn your back, because that's one of my funniest ones. I had two of my dogs. It was Wyatt and Brandy, and they were talking, and I heard them, kind of overheard them talking doggy talk. And they said, you know what's really funny, Mom? You know, Brandy, what do you say? Well, Wyatt said, I've seen humans. They're so easy to train. You see, all you got to do is pretend to jump up on them, and they'll turn their back to you. It's funny. They're really easy to train. Watch how easy it is. And Wyatt jokingly went to jump on a human, which, of course, he'd never do. And the human turned around, and Brandy said, man, that's hilarious. These humans are so easy to train. All you got to do is pretend to jump on them, and they'll turn around. And they all do it. It's amazing. Well, of course, Wyatt would never jump, nor would any of my dogs. And, of course, they weren't speaking, and I didn't overhear them. It was a silly story for those of you who are kind of going, hey, that was cool. But the concept is, think like a dog, and think about, you know, your neighbor with the knucklehead lab or golden and it, or doodle, whatever doodle, and it goes to jump, and everybody turns their back on the dog. What do you think the dogs think? Hey, they all do the same thing. This is really cool. So stop thinking like a human. Think like a dog. If you don't want the dog to jump, don't you change what you're doing. Teach the dog, hey, That's not allowed in our house. I'm not upset with you, honey. I love you to death. But you're not allowed to jump on people in the house. You're not allowed to run out the front door. You're not allowed to jump on me when I'm on my bed or my furniture unless I invite you up because, you know, I could have a cup of hot coffee or something. I don't want you to burn me and you and ruin the furniture and all that. It's just teaching the dog the rules and what we expect of him. If you teach your dog what to expect of you and what to expect of others and how to treat you, your family, your friends, other people, and other animals, then your dog will understand that and he will happily comply. Now, what happens if you have one of those super dominant or super fearful dogs? And even my book won't help you because obviously you need me there or one of our certified specialists from UnitedK9Professionals.com, which you can call us. You can always call us on our 800 number. We'll help you. It's 855, the number 4, the letter K, the number 9, PROS, P-R-O-S, 855-4-K-9-PROS. Or you can respond or put in an inquiry on our website, www.UnitedK9Professionals.com. And we will happily help you. We have people in 38 states now and 10 countries. It's pretty cool. So we can help you wherever you are. Even in Alaska, Jesse Seahorn, who's doing beautifully up there and helping everybody in Eagle River, Alaska area. Pretty amazing girl. And we have so many people in all around the country, and we're expanding outward. And, of course, we're also looking for people who say, you know, like DJ Wright, who listened to one of our podcasts and called me and said, I want to do this. This is so cool. And she's actually in our current class at United Canine Professionals, doing really, really well. I'm very proud of DJ. And she will be certified probably by the summer and being able to help other people in her area. So it's very, very exciting to be able to spread the word and to teach others my techniques. And so far, we've got around 178 plus our new class, which will be about 14 or 15. We only have probably two spots, maybe, or three. It doesn't start till the beginning of April, but we get, oh boy, easily 200 applications every quarter. And if you think you've got what it takes, let us know and put in an application under the Join Our Team at UnitedK9Professionals.com. Of course, once you get to United K9, we're the first one who pops up. And it's really important, though, if you have an idea that you might want to do this, if you listen to my show and you say, wow, you know, this stuff works. It's amazing. Well, we can train you. We have a whole team of people who trains everybody, and we have beautiful graduating classes. And you get certified, you get a lot of experience, a lot of hands-on, plus the distance learning. It's just amazing. So, you know, it's a great thing, and we do, we're looking for other locations, places that we don't have as much coverage. So if you're, no matter where you are, but if you're thinking, man, I'd love to work with us. Janice, I'd love to train with you and your team. You can go to our Join Our Team and put in an application on UnitedK9Professionals.com or call us at 855-4K9PROS. Or if you forget that one, you can always call the 855-HI-WYATT and ask to speak to somebody from United Canine Professionals. We really are very appreciative that we have as many incredible people as we do. And, you know, we have so many different aspects to United Canine Professionals and Merlin's Kids. We have dogs in schools doing therapeutic facilitation, behavioral intervention. We have private service dogs for diabetic alert, which we train, seizures, which we train, and dogs for autism, dogs for PTSD, dogs for multiple disabilities, physical support dogs, balance dogs, mobility dogs. We do all that. And it's great because we can train others. And, of course, the cancer and disease detection, which is the coolest thing ever. So, you know, join our team if you think you've got what it takes. Or, you know, don't feel like, oh, man, you know, I live in Utah. What are they? Well, great. We don't have anybody in Utah. So if you want to join our team, apply. Worst that can happen is you don't get in. but maybe you will. And certainly call us for information, because we need your help to be able to help dogs in your area. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with our last segment.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now, introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. You know, what's really funny is to see how many people out there are listening to the show and are on podcast. And one of the ladies that I was speaking with actually asked me, and I kind of laughed about it. She said, when you do your Tuesday night show, which is called From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf, you say the Janice Wolf differently than when you say, for the love of dog, with Janice Wolf. And she had actually asked me if that was something that I replay and that it was pre-recorded. She said, you sound exactly the same every time you say it. Well, guess what? I do the floor rule and teach my dogs to move out of my way. I do it the same way every time I do it. So if you do something consistently, then the dog is able to learn what we expect, and you guys are able to pay attention and say, hey, that's really funny. She can do that the same way every single time. But think about somebody who performs, like anybody, like a Billy Joel who performs and thousands of times. Well, doesn't he sing the same song pretty much every time the same way? That's either like a muscle memory or something to that effect where you're able to do the same thing the same way. And that's just learning. It's like a gymnast or a skater hitting that twirl, hitting that particular spin, hitting that perfect landing. And that's just something that takes a little time, the same as it is to rehabilitate a dog with a behavioral issue. You can't keep changing methods and saying, oh, well, today I'm going to be a gymnast. Well, I wasn't really good at that, so I'm going to try tomorrow being a dancer. Well, I wasn't good at that. I'm going to be a downhill skier. Next day, I'm going to be a moguls person. Next day, I'm going to be a computer programmer. Next day, I'm going to build houses. Next day, I'm going to be the president. Well, guess what? You're not going to be any of those things. And if you keep changing methods and don't stick with behavioral methods, guess what? Things aren't going to work. You've got to give, like especially when people say, oh, my dog's got allergies. I tried this food for a week, and it didn't change anything. He's still got diarrhea. You know, I have to, you know, work with that dog and do whatever it is that I have to do. And every single time, you know, I do it that way, you know, but it's the same. Well, here's your problem. You can't expect that after, you know, changing the dog's food for a week, that his allergies are going to go away. And you know what? You might be changing the food, but still giving him the same wheat-containing cookie. Well, same thing with behavior. When I go out to clients, I don't say, hey, yeah, you're going to see, you know, it's going to be 99% different the first day. No, but it is going to be like 75 or 80% different. You're going to see huge difference. But it's the same as if I were a surgeon, and I consider myself kind of like a brain surgeon. If you had a mole or a little growth on your forehead, you could go to your dermatologist, and your dermatologist, who is a doctor, can remove that, no problem. Well, and if I'm a brain surgeon, right, I can remove that same mole, because obviously I'm a brain surgeon, I think I can handle a mole on your forehead. But where the problem is when you have the dermatologist who's going to crack your head open and remove a brain tumor. That is a problem. So how do we handle that? What do we do? We don't want dermatologists handling brain tumors because dermatologists don't know how to do that. So you don't want to use a form of training that is not meant for behavior. You want to use a form of behavior that will help you to modify that behavior. And this does not mean that you're going to go and you're going to hit the dog. You're going to use, I call it deprivation training. They call it deferential training, which is basically don't give the dog food or praise or anything unless the dog does a particular body position. It's basically glorified obedience, and it's mean. I've seen rarely where it works. And usually, now think about if you've got a food-aggressive dog. So he's hungry. Why don't we look to see, hey, maybe this dog isn't absorbing all the things that he needs. Maybe this dog is instead just hungry, and that's why he's getting so protective over his food or bones or treats or a plastic ball or whatever it is that he's possessive over. Well, if the dog is hungry, it's kind of like a pregnant woman. When you're pregnant, and those men, just ask your wife or somebody you know or your mother, because obviously you had a mother, ask them, hey, when you were pregnant, did you happen to have any cravings? Oh, yeah, I had a banana split craving. Oh, I had pizza craving. I was craving pickles and beer and ice cream. Well, I hope not the beer. But whatever you were craving, or whatever, when we're on a diet and we go, oh, I need to have a chocolate bar. Well, there's a reason, and it's because your body is craving something that it doesn't have. So a lot of dogs with food aggression and even toy and bone aggression have nutritional issues. So first, instead of depriving the dog of what it needs, give the dog a better quality of food. Make sure he's not on anything that he's allergic to that's causing any kind of aggression, which we're going to go into that next week with nutrition. Talk about things that make sense. So like if you're hungry, you might be very, very aggressive or very, very nasty to somebody who was trying to take your food before you were finished with it, right? Think about being at a restaurant and you're chatting with your friends and your friend's already finished and you're not quite eating it, but you're not quite done. And the waiter comes over to take your food and you grab your plate like, no, I'm not done yet. Well, if you're a dog who's really hungry and really stressed or thinks he's the leader, well, you might bite. You might snarl, you might snap, you might growl. So understand why your dog is doing what he's doing. He may just have a nutritional issue, and if he does, we can fix that. Let's fix it instead of making it worse. Let's not get mad at our dogs. Let's not give up on our dogs. Let's teach our dogs, and let's get our dogs to having good nutrition and great behavior and understanding what we want of them and communicating. Not talking to them, although I'm really bad at this, and Karen Aaron, who was here, she's on our board at Merlin's Kids, one of some amazing people who are on our board. And she, you know, she was laughing at me, like laughing with me, because I'm singing the Wyatt song and the Fallon song, and I'm singing the Whisper song, and I'm singing the Brandy song, and I'm singing to the puppies. Because, yeah, I can talk to my dogs and play around, and yeah, of course I do that. I just give them, you know, organic chicken. I just give them a pile of treats when I feel like it, just because I love them. They don't have to do anything. They don't have to be bribed. My dogs follow me wherever I go, if I want them to. Otherwise, I gently tell them that I don't need them to follow, and then they'll just hang out until I get back. But my life truly with my dogs is the most relaxing and amazing life ever. Because my dogs love me, they respect me, they follow me, and above all, they trust me. Not only that they trust that I'm not going to hurt them, because obviously I would never hurt my dogs or any other animal, but they trust that I'm taking charge of everything. I'm taking care of everything. And if they don't have any worries, then guess what? They don't have any cares, they have nothing to protect, and anybody can walk in the whelping box. Anybody can do anything in the house that I say is okay, because it's my house. Well, unfortunately, again, that hour just seems to fly past us so quickly. But I want to thank everybody for listening, and I want everybody to email me at Janice, J-A-N-I-C-E, at UnitedK9Professionals.com, and tell me what your questions, your concern. Tell me what you want a future guest, and let me know what's on your mind. We are here to help you. Please buy my new book, Shh Happens, Canine Behavior 101 on Amazon, and you can get download the free Kindle software. If you think you've got what it takes or you know somebody who might be interested in one of our service dog training programs or our canine behavior programs, let us know. Put in an application. All you can say is, well, you didn't get in, but maybe you will. Please have a wonderful, cool, really amazing, beautiful week. Stay warm because it's cold outside. Bring your animals in. Don't leave them out for 20 minutes. They can get frostbite. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Take care. Bye.